The minister of the Holy Spirit, what are they? The Spirit what? Spirit what? In us. And what else? Upon us. What else? Among us. In us, upon us, and among us. We're still studying the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us because it's so key. It's so key. In my, well, my estimation really doesn't matter. But this is one of the very important ministries of the Holy Spirit. It is not spectacular. And so we do not recognize it because we always associate the Holy Spirit with spectacular things. But the day you were born again, there was no spectacular anything. And yet, a powerful work was done by the Holy Spirit. You know? So we should be able to understand that the Holy Spirit must not be spectacular. Must not be spectacular. But it's always supernatural. Always supernatural. So, his ministry in us is a very important ministry because that is different from baptism of the Holy Spirit, I hope we know. This is the ministry that produces our character. This is the ministry that what? Produces our character. You don't have to be baptized by the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. All you need is to have Christ in you. But you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit so you be a witness, so you do the things that Christ did that we're going to talk about when we get there. So, what we're talking about is what the Holy Spirit does in the life of the believer that makes him who or she is supposed to be. That produces the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is not what you instruct me to go and do. Because it is not the product of human effort. The fruit of the Spirit is not the works of man. It's not the works of men. Enumerating it for me and telling me to go and do them won't help me. So I need to understand how the Holy Spirit produces these things in me so that I can yield to that. So essentially what we're talking about really is the fruit of the what? Of the Spirit. That's what we're going to talk about today. We may not name it that, but that's where we're headed this evening. And so we said that the Holy Spirit was sent to explain to us the plan of God that he consummated in Christ Jesus, that he executed in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. You know, so Romans 16:25 says, now all glory to God who is able to make you strong. Now you see, it's God that makes you what? Strong. Just as my good news says, this message about Jesus Christ, because the plan was consummated in Jesus Christ, so the message is about Jesus Christ. This message about Jesus Christ has revealed his plans for you and me, for you Gentiles, a plan kept secret from the beginning of time. And in Ephesians 1:9, the Bible says, God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his good pleasure, to fulfill his will in my life. To fulfill his will. We get excited about talking about doing the will of God. But this is the main deal here. That this plan is to fulfill his will in my life, fulfill his will in your life. So we should be interested in knowing that and interested in finding out how the Holy Spirit does this in our lives. And so he wants to reveal to the believer how God has restored him to glory with favor with God through Jesus Christ, and as a result bestowed on him all the blessings of God freely, giving him a new image, the image of God, a new life, a place of honor with God, seating him with Christ in a place of glory. and with all the privileges that is associated with that. So it is to reveal to us really the work of God that he accomplished in Christ for us. And so it's easy for you to see now. Philippians 1:6 will be easy to understand now. It says, being confident of this very thing, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in who? In you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we need to come to a point where we are also confident. Where we are very, very confident in he that began this good work. And which is the work that the Spirit of God is doing right now on earth. Okay. For instance, in Romans 3:24, we begin to read some of the things that God did through his Spirit in Christ for us. Romans 3:24, I'm reading Amplified Version. Amplified Version. All are justified and made upright and in right standing with God freely. All are justified. And the word made means you didn't make it. Somebody made you. And as a Christian, you must understand that this is not your, it's not what you do. This is what it does. So it says, all are justified and all are made. All are justified. Somebody justified all. Somebody made all upright and in right standing with God freely. And how? Can you pronounce that word? It's not graciously. Huh? Wahala has come here. Gratuitously. What does it mean? Eh? Freely. Now, I want you to note what the Spirit of God is teaching the church, because he came to teach us about that plan and how it applies to you, so that the plan will work in your life. So, gratuitously, by his grace, his unmerited favor and mercy, through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus. Continue. Just keep giving. Whom God has put before the eyes of all as a mercy seat. As a mercy seat and propitiation by his blood, the cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received. It was to demonstrate and prove at this time in the now season that he himself is what? Showing us how righteous God is, how good God is, how loving God is, how caring God is, that he'll do all these things freely, gratuitously for us, at no cost to us, and that he justifies and accepts as righteous him who has true faith in who? Jesus Christ. The next one, please. Then what becomes of our pride and our boasting? What happens to our pride and our boasting? Huh? Why? Because all of these things were done by God freely for you. Freely. So our pride and boasting is gone. I was telling them yesterday at the prayer meeting, I said, can you convince yourself you have no righteousness? Because if you have, why should God give you another one? If you have, why should God give you another one? It means you don't have. And you can't produce it. So it's saying, so you can't come before God boasting, prideful, and saying to God, see how good I am. In a while, you are going to see that it is this plan that made you escape sin, escape Satan, escape. It is this. If God didn't do this, none of us will escape sin. Nobody. Not one person. Nobody. Nobody. will be slaves of sin today. If God didn't do this, we'll all be slaves of sin today. Nobody. So he said, so what becomes of our pride and our boasting? It is what? Excluded, which means it is banished, ruled out what? So let me ask, at what point do you restore your pride and boasting? Come on. At what point? At no point. On what principle? On the principle of doing good deeds? No. But the principle of what? Faith is offered gratuitously. You just believe in it. Simple. So no boasting. It's gone. The next verse. 28. For we hold that a man is justified and made upright by faith, independent of and distinctly apart from what? Good deeds. Why? Because it is God that did all these things for him. So the observance of the law has nothing to do with justification, because that's what God provided us himself. Look at what the scripture says in Titus chapter 3, from 3 to 8. Titus chapter 3, from 3 to 8. Once, we too were foolish. See how we were before? We were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of what? Evil and envy, and we did what? Hated each other. So that's how we were. We hated each other. But, what happened? When God, our Savior, revealed his what? Kindness and love. That's why the cross should reveal to you the love of God. Reveal to you the kindness of God. You can't understand the cross and be wicked. It's not possible. You can't understand the cross and be proud. It's not possible. You will not understand the cross and not love God. It's not possible. It's not possible at all. So he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his what? Mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us. See what the Holy Spirit is teaching the church to know these things. We're going to see how it produces the fruit of the Spirit. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new what? Life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through who? Jesus Christ. Continue to verse 8. Because of his grace, he declared us what? Righteous, and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying. Insist on this what? Why insist? Because some people will reject it. The devil will see to it. He will fight it. He will tell you not to teach it. Teach us the law. Say, no, insist. Insist on it. Because this is what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to the church. You must insist on it. You must teach it. That's why I don't look at anybody's face, because I know he's commissioned this thing. This is what they commissioned. I keep teaching it, because this is what they commissioned. Insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will now do what? Devote themselves to. This is the teaching that will make them devote themselves to doing good. This is the teaching. That's what will make them devote themselves. They were slaves to sin. They could not devote nothing. Until God came and set them free, chained them, gave them new life, gave them new spirit, gave them everything. So with all that God now made them, they can now do what? Devote themselves. But if they don't know this that God did, they can't devote nothing. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust and receive it as true, trust in God, will now devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for what? Everyone. They are good and beneficial for what? You tell me not to teach it, I'm not listening to you. You didn't bring me to America. I don't have time for that stuff. You didn't bring me here. No, because I saw him face to face. And he talks to me all the time. It's beneficial for everyone. This is what makes you do good. He said, teach them. This is beneficial to everyone. They should know this. They should be familiar with it. Because this is what will now make them to do what? Do good. Praise the Lord. Philemon 6. Philemon 6. I keep praying. I'm reading Message, and I will read New Living Translation. I'm reading Message. I keep praying. I keep what? Praying that this faith we hold in common keeps showing up in the good things we do. This faith we have in Christ. Remember what we read. It said those that have this faith in God concerning these teachings, they will do good. It will produce the fruits. Faith in that thing manifests in good works. When you don't have faith in it, and you come and tell me you have faith in it and there's no good works, you say that faith is what? Dead. It's not real. It's fake. It's feigned, pretended faith. And I keep praying that this faith we hold in common keeps showing up in the good things we do. That's why it shows up. It produces the good things we do. Produces the fruits of the Spirit. Because you trust what the Spirit has done. That thing the Spirit has done is manifested for you to see it by the power of the same Spirit. And that people recognize Christ in all of it. They see Jesus in all of it. Isn't it what it says? The life of Christ being manifested. Let me read it in New Living Translation. Philemon 6. And I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity. See the generosity? The love? Kindness? The generosity that comes, New Living Translation, the generosity that comes, where does it come from? Your faith, as you understand and experience all the good things we have, where? He said, that's where it's coming from. I need to come down. You must get this thing. God, come. It's me and you today. You are not running away from me. God, come. Bring your jacket. Let's think of a crude way to, just a crude way to show this thing. Just come. Okay, God is putting on this jacket, right? Just throw it over. He's putting on this jacket over him, right? Let's say that this is, turn around a little bit. Let's say that this is sin. And he can't bring his hand out of this. It's a nature. It's not just character. It is what? A nature. It's a nature. I want you to tell me how this man will ever do good when his nature is evil. Tell me how. He says, by nature, we were children of wrath. By nature, we were evil. By nature, we hated each other. It was our nature. Wickedness, hatred, unforgiveness was our nature. None is righteous. No, and not one seeketh after God. Selfishness. It was our nature. And God says, this man is without strength. He has no strength. He can't deal with his nature. There's no way he can change his nature. So God came. On the cross. And when he rose, no, you are not good yet. When he rose, I want to borrow something else. Is there anything that's white? Why don't you come with white? White and white, you know, like. So when he rose, God clothed him with his righteousness and made him a new what? Creature. Took away that old nature and put in him his own righteous nature. And it is because of that new nature, this man has hope of doing good. Everything this man will do is because of that new nature. If you take away that new nature, can't do anything. That's why Jesus said, it's my nature, I'm divine, that I gave you. I've come that you have what? And have it what? I will follow me. That's what the Spirit came to teach us. What God did on the cross through Christ for you and for me. So that, but your faith in this thing will now make that nature and everything produce. The Spirit of God begins to walk that nature outward. Your desires change. Everything changes. You come to a point where the same thing that used to make you angry will not be angry. Because your nature, the new nature, does not respond to sin. So this man cannot boast. Because what is working in him is not his life. Is the life of who? Christ. So who takes all the glory? Jesus. Now you are good. Now you are righteous. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to read more scripture. Thank you, God. I can always take you for granted. You're my buddy. One day I'll come to the pastors. Now, do we get what I'm saying? The Bible said that faith said all those good things that you received in Christ. He said, I'm praying that your faith will produce the reality, the new nature. Your faith produces the reality. Because if there's no reality, it's an indication that you have the wrong faith. You have not. Your faith is not in those things God did. Your faith is in you or in something else. So when we acknowledge these things as true, Then the Spirit of God begins to manifest what he has taught us to believe, what he showed us. This is the plan executed for you. This is what he did. This is what he achieved. He poured his love into you. The love of God is poured what? Abroad in us. That the nature of hatred is gone. It's gone. It's a new thing. You know, I went to see somebody in the hospital. And I took a ticket. You know, when you go into the parking, you press one button, a ticket will come out. So this ticket came. I took it. I didn't even observe it. But I realized it was lighter. So I said, wait a minute. So I put it in my jacket. And when I was done, I was leaving. I got to the place. I put the ticket. I didn't hear any noise. I turned the ticket again. No noise. I turned it this side. Put it. Oh, I said, I put it to scanner. No noise. I turned this other side. No noise. I said, is there anybody here who will help? I turned it again. I didn't hear. Because I'm used to when you put ticket. At least you hear, shh. I didn't hear nothing. You know I stood there. Turning this gate. Turning this. All of a sudden, I looked up. The thing was open the first time. It was open, waiting for me after fooling myself to what? Go. You know why I didn't go? I didn't know what that ticket did for me. If I knew that it was electronic, it was not like the one you insert and you hear shrrr, shrrr. I was looking for where to insert because that's what I'm used to. That's why you must renew your mind to know that that gate has been what? Flipped open. When Jesus went to the cross, he flipped it open. You are no more a slave. And all he wants you to do is to believe that this, wow, this is so. And then, again, because I saw with my physical eyes, but what he's telling us is what is the spiritual reality. That you are no more a slave of sin. You don't have that nature anymore. But supposing I didn't see it, do you know I will still be there? If I call him for help, when I didn't need to call, when I looked up, I said to myself, oh my God, this thing has been there all this while. And I nearly came out of the car. Because if you saw me, if you tell anybody this story, I know, God, if I hear it, it's you. I put the thing, I didn't hear shararam. I put this in. I said, why the thing inside this thing? I looked over, Then I turned the ticket again. And I saw the barcode. I said, okay, yeah, it's the barcode. I put this one. I didn't hear anything. I turned this back. I didn't hear anything. Man, I was desperate. Only for me to look up. The thing had been up the first time. Waiting for me to, after fooling myself, to drive out. Does it illustrate to you what I'm saying? If you don't know you have this new nature, if you don't know you have the love of God, you will remain like me there, praying and doing all those things there for God to do. The thing has been open since, but you'll be wasting your time there. Because you don't know what God consummated in Christ. You don't know the ticket has been paid. You don't know anything. You have no idea what I've been giving to you freely. You're still waiting, thinking, I cannot do this. The gate is still, it's not there. You can walk out. Actually, you can walk out of anything. Because if the sun shall set you free, you can walk out of anything. Praise the Lord. Look at 2 Peter 1:3. That's why we must understand what the Spirit of God is teaching you. It's important that you understand what the Holy Spirit is teaching you. Very key. I'm begging you, get out of religion. It will frustrate you. Make you do what I was doing, putting this, turning this, making all those things. But the gate, first time. I want to see. I want to hear. I want to. Did it happen? The power that did it was there. 1 Peter 1:3. For his divine power. Somebody say his divine power has already bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and what? Already bestowed. Through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence. His virtue called us to his life, called us to his glory. By means of these things that he has given us, he has provided for us, by means of these, he has bestowed on us. By means of this, he has bestowed on us. By means of this, he has what? Bestowed on us his precious and exceeding great promises, so that through them we may now do what? Escape. Get out. Get up and get out. We may now escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. Because already we have the divine nature. We have it. Already nothing is binding you. Nothing is holding. Praise the Lord. Are you following with them? So we must know that our old rotten nature has been. That is how we escape the corruption in the world, because we were part of the corruption before. We had this nature that was corrupt, but God came and changed it. The escape from that corruption is that God came and took away the corruption. Unless we are saying that God told a lie. Unless we are saying that this is not true. God came and took away the corruption and gave us a new body that's not corrupt. And the Spirit of God is teaching the church this thing. He said this teaching insists on it because it's profitable to all so that they can now do good works. So, our old rotten nature was changed on the cross, so we escaped its grip on us. Then God poured his love into us by his Spirit. So our hearts now are loving, unlike the one we had before. That's how we escaped this rottenness, by what God consummated in Christ for us. We escaped it by what God did, by taking away the rottenness. That's how we escaped. We were delivered from that prison. We escaped. The door is open. We're no more held by it. So the more we understand this truth, and then the more we believe in it, the more it manifests in our life, our life is building up, the more our faith is growing, the more the manifestation, the more our faith is growing and an understanding of this is, the more the manifestation. But if we neglect them, church, I want to tell you something. If you neglect them, you will remain like me in that place. Even though the thing is open, but it won't go. And that's why a lot of Christians are living a life of the old man. Because of ignorance. And that kind of life will affect your prayer. Affect everything. I was telling them yesterday, I said, why do we pray by the flesh? Don't you understand that the flesh will profit you what? Why do we pray by the flesh? Sweat and sweat. I say prayer that you are sweating is not prayer. When you pray by the Spirit, you flourish it. And time does not have meaning there. Because spiritual things are eternal things. Love is spiritual. Because God is love. Love is spiritual. That's why when you are with a lover, there's no time. There's no time. Love does not exist in time, because God is love. Time exists in love. God is bigger than time. When you are with a lover, 1 hour, it will look like how many minutes? Stop denying. Tell me, my friend. It will look like how many minutes? 1 minute. Because that is in the spiritual realm where time does not work there. Praise the Lord. But if you are with somebody you don't love, you know what you are doing? You are checking and the flesh. Look at 2 Peter 1, 3 and see what happens. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things, like we read, that suited to life and godliness. By means of this, he has bestowed upon us. Verse 4. By means of this, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceeding great promises, so that through them we may escape from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. A new life was given to us. That's how we escaped the divine nature. We have the life of God. We have his love in us. We have everything that God, Jesus, had was given to us. It's exactly what the Holy Spirit is teaching us now. And look at Romans 5:5. And hope make it not ashamed. Romans 5:5, King James Version. And hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed where? Abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's there. Brethren, it's there. Right there. It's right there. We can love like Jesus. Can I hear amen? We can love like who? Jesus. Look at Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See the nature we have. We've been created in true righteousness and in true holiness. That's how we escaped the corrupt one that was evil. Now, in verse 5, I'm reading 2 Peter 1, verse 5. Because because of the promises that have been fulfilled, for this very reason, adding your diligence. Adding your what? Diligence to the divine promises. Employ every effort. I'm reading Amplified. Verse 5. For this reason, because he has bestowed on us all things that are for life and what? Godliness through the promises. So that's what verse 4 said. So he said, because of this thing that he has done, because of these things he has fulfilled. Now remember, the Holy Spirit is teaching the church this thing. Because there's no way we would have known it if he didn't teach us. So he said, because of that now, for this very reason, adding diligence. You have to be diligent now. You have to be diligent now. Employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop what? Virtue. You grow your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy. And in exercising virtue, you develop what? Knowledge. Continue. And in exercising knowledge, you develop what? Self-control. And in exercising self-control, you develop steadfastness, patience, endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, you develop what? Godliness. Continue. And in exercising godliness, develop a brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. So what is he telling us? That the more, because of these things Christ has done and fulfilled, and the way he changed us, took away this and took away, the more we understand it, the more we know it, the more our faith is growing, we'll be developing all these Christian virtues, all this character, fruit of the Spirit, we'll be developing them. Fruits, not labor. Fruits. It's coming out of vine. It will be growing. This will come. Because it's a growth. This will come. It's a make effort that your faith produces this thing. It begins to come. Patience, love, this, The fruits of the Spirit. They start coming. They start coming. They start coming. When people deal with you, when they test you, they don't want to leave you. When they test you, oh my God, they don't want to leave you. God said, test me and say that I'm what? Good. If they test you, they won't like to leave you. Because there's no tongues and tests, all this. No, there's nothing. It's love. It's gentle. It's awesome. Praise the Lord. They don't want to leave you. And when you tell them Jesus died for you, they come nearer. Because your love already, your life already told them that. You already told them that. You know, some of us can't preach at our jobs. Because if you say Jesus loves you, they're saving you. Really? Does he even go to church? You know, one time somebody came to my wife at Queen's College. He said, we know those Christians. So he said, don't worry about all this born again thing. He said, we know the real ones. Verse 7. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. And exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. 8. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more you develop them, the more you know Christ, because that's his character. That's his character. You now know Christ experientially. You see his spirit showing forth in your life daily, and you say, wow, that's the way, that's it, Jesus. This is, haven't you been in a place where you came and said, Lord, I know it's you, because I couldn't have done this. This is you, Lord, this is you. Wow, what did you do this? This is amazing. The more you experience this, the more you see Christ at work, the more he's real. The more you see his wisdom when you talk, the more people come nearer, they want to hear you talk. Because the things you say are not common. Look, this Christianity is not I'm carrying Bible all over the place. You know, on Sunday, so after I finished preaching, after Sunday, last 2 Sundays, I was walking home. I was at that garage, and the Lord said to me, he said, do you know a lot of people, they like this walk, but they don't like the Lord. They love walk, zeal, but they don't know Jesus, and they don't love Jesus. He said, they are matter, they are not Mary. A lot of people are matter all over the place, but they don't know Jesus. And he said to me, whatever you are doing for me, if you don't know me, it's waste of time. It's waste of time. How can you serve the Lord you don't know? So it's waste of time. So did you see the Pharisees? They were zealous all over the place, but they lacked knowledge. So because of that, they were not serving me. Sure. So if we develop, you see, these things are not developed by, this is the list. The fruit of the Spirit is, I name it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I go and do it. No. Not like that. It's a fruit. You not go and do it. No. You have to believe what it does. And then the thing comes from the vine. It's out of the vine it flows. Out of Jesus it flows. As you, your faith in him, in all these things that the Spirit of God is. Otherwise the cross means nothing then. Then we can live without the cross. We can't. It's not possible. Not possible. All our goodness emanates from Christ. flows from him. And it was at the cross that he changed us and gave us his nature, gave us his goodness and everything. And his spirit is there to help work it out in us as he teaches us this. That's why the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us is very, very important. Because the key thing is the character. Without character, whatever you are doing is a waste of time. It's because of lack of character that companies come down, ministries come down, families come down, marriages are broken. Lack of character. That's why schools are no more safe. Lack of character. The thing that carries anything we are doing is character. That nature of Christ, that nature, upon this I build my kingdom. Upon Christ, that nature, that foundation. That foundation is Christ himself. When your character is latches onto that foundation, to that foundation, then you can build anything on it. On that character. On that character. But if it's not on that foundation, the devil will come, kick you all over the place. Just kick you all over the place. And be very bad testimony for the kingdom of God. But the dangerous thing about those things is that at a point, God himself will kick you up. I had enough of you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Verse 9. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind. Uh-oh. Who wrote this? Church, who wrote this? That's his testimony. Whoever lacks these qualities is what? Blind, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what he doesn't see spiritual realities. He's not seeing this thing. He doesn't see it. Doesn't know it. He's blind. Spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near. That is carnal. Carnal. What is near and has become oblivious, forgotten, doesn't even remember to the fact that he was cleansed from his old world. Since this thing we are saying here that happened to him on the cross, it doesn't live with that consciousness. He has forgotten it. It doesn't mean anything. He has forgotten it. He doesn't live with that truth that the Spirit of God is teaching him, that this is the plan. This is what was consummated for you. It doesn't mean anything. He has forgotten it. It doesn't. So if he forgot it, does he have faith in it? I'm asking you. Oh, if he doesn't have faith in it, where would the good works come from? Explain it to me. You know, for many years I was a Christian, full of zeal, but I had no knowledge. The result that my wife suffered a lot. My children suffered. I was full of wickedness. But man, I will take it out on you. If I give one instruction and you don't do it, I didn't know what mercy looked like. I was really a rank Pharisee, serving in the church as a leader. For many years, I didn't know this thing. Until I came to this country, I said to the Lord, something is missing. You know, that's what I was saying on Sunday. Tell yourself the truth. That's why the thing starts. Call a spade what? Tell yourself the truth. Stop deceiving yourself. Because if you keep deceiving yourself, you are creating a corner where Satan will have platform. And by the time he finishes with you, you know it's a dangerous spirit. I said to the Lord, this is not working. Nope. My children started talking to me. That's when I knew something was wrong. My own children. Say, so when will we see your love? I didn't show any. I was so hard. Until the Lord began to show me, say, you don't know my son. That's your problem. You are ignorant of my son. you have forgotten all these things he did on the cross. So on what will you base the faith that will produce these good works? On yourself? On your church? On what else? On what? Your determination? No. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I went to work. I started to study. And I started to study. I didn't go far. And I came back. And the Lord said, yeah, I wanted you to find that out. Then I started to pray that God will open what? Pray this prayer every day for yourself. I'm begging you people. We're not here forever. Look, I'm teaching you as your pastor. But it's your life. If you like, do whatever you like. It's your life now. Is it not your life? I started to ask God to what? And when my eyes began to pop open, I couldn't believe myself. I said to myself, what have you been what? Teaching people. The same person, people started floating around me. I go to Nigeria, they float from all over the place. From all over the place. But a magnet. And I remember my father, my late father. I never saw that man. Never saw my father irritated. Not for one. You knew him. That's, the, you know, it's your son, my late father. Never saw him irritated. Never. And angels were visiting him. He was having experience we Pentecostals don't have. God was talking to him. Like this. Everything God told him about me came to pass. The Lord told him I will never have a girl. He said, your son will not have a girl. I gave him only boys. Yep. He was intimate with the Holy Spirit, and yet he was not a Pentecostal. Very, very intimate. And God used him mightily. Because of that spirit. Where there was trouble in the town, God used him to. The town would have killed themselves. God used him to bring them together. You're a witness. You know what I'm talking about? He wasn't Pentecostal. But he knew the ways of the spirit. Can I hear amen? That's what I'm telling you. One time he sat me and said, my son, he said, the love of God is so deep. He said, you know, God won't put anybody in hell. People will walk to hell themselves. He said, the love of God is something else. He was talking to me. Every time you see him, he'll be quiet, just thinking, drawing something like this. He had all manner of visits. He went to heaven twice. It's fellowship with the Spirit. A life in the Spirit. It's not a carnal thing that gives you experience beyond this world. Praise the Lord. You see, when you forget that you've been saved, these things won't work. Are you following what I'm teaching? Or is it too hard? If you understand me, say amen. Yeah. You can't forget what he did on the cross. He said, when you forget all these things, see, you are short-sighted. That's why these things will never be produced. Never. And see the importance of believing this. In Hebrews 3:12. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving. Make sure your own hearts are not evil and what? Unbelieving. Turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believe, we will share in all that belongs to Christ that he brought us. Remember what he says today. When you hear his voice, don't harden what? Your heart, as Israel did. 1 Peter 4:1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, suffered for us where? Arm yourself with it. Tell your neighbor what I said. Arm yourself with it. Arm yourself with it. Likewise, with the same mind that you got to have it as your arm to face life. He suffered in the flesh for me. And so all the benefit of that suffering is now mine. He said, arm yourself with it. With the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Said, because he suffered for us on the cross. The benefit of that suffering changed our life. He said, arm yourself with it. That we can no more live for the lust of the flesh. You know, your flesh just directing everything. Can't live like that. Because he suffered in the flesh to change us. To produce that nature in us. Arm yourself with that. Then another place, say, reckon also that you are dead to sin and alive to righteousness. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. And remember that the Holy Spirit empowers us. I can do all things through what? The power that Christ provides. He empowers us every day. Philippians 4:12. No, let's read Ephesians 3:20 because of time. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. This power does above anything anybody can think. Anybody can think. Anything we're able to do, this power does abundantly above it. This power of the Spirit of God that works in us. That's the power we should rely upon. And we'll listen to what he's teaching us. And we'll trust him to work it out in us. That's how you have the fruit of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Any questions? I have an important announcement to make. I forgot to make it on Sunday. This period, from now to when is Good Friday, Easter? April 1st. From now to April 1st, please listen to this announcement. Huh? April 30. From now to April, make our time. Choose either 1 week, 2, 3, as you can, and seek the Lord in praying and fasting. Some of you who didn't pray and fast in January, you must do it now. God is not letting us free of this one. You must do it. Have to do it. So, 1 week, 2, 3, as much as you can. Seek the God, the Lord in prayer. And for this, please listen to me. Whatever area of your life that's not lining up with the word of God, with the promise of God, with the scripture, you go to God and say, Lord, this is not lining up with what your word says. I want you to help me to understand why and what I need to do. Where am I missing you? Because you're always correct. There's something I need to adjust. I want you to show me. And you must have a scripture that tells you the will of God concerning that thing. And your life is not lining up with it. It's not, this is not working here. Say, Lord, I need to know why this is not what? Working. What should I do? Because it has to work. Because your word is here. Take our time and seek the Lord about it. and he will answer you. But the rest of you can also take our time to seek the Lord for other things. If not, then worship him and praise him. I'll make this announcement again on Sunday. I forgot it on Sunday. When I got home, the thing hit me. I'm like, wow. I didn't say you should fast from now to it. I said take out, even if it's 1 week or two or three, as your job will allow you. But make sure you seek the Lord about it. Your life will not be the same again. I believe the Lord wants to attend to some things that is confusing us, some things that is causing us bewilderment. Then he wants to sort it out this season. He that has ear to hear, let him hear. Let's bow our heads to pray. Our Father and our God, we just want to thank you again for what you are teaching the church. The fruit of the Spirit. That's the main thing. For by those fruits, we are known. He said, if we don't have these fruits, he said, because we are short-sighted, we are blind, we don't know anything. And we have forgotten salvation, forgotten all the things you did for us on the cross. If we don't have them. Character is what carries anything we do. Without character, the thing we are doing is a waste of time. You are not even in it. The fruit of the Spirit, very important. For by them, which people will know us, that we are the disciples of Jesus. Our faith is revealed in the fruits that it produces. Faith without those fruits, faith without the work of the Holy Spirit, is dead. It's not real. It's not true. It's no faith in Jesus. It's all religion. Father, I pray that you help us to confront ourselves. You've been telling us this on Sunday. Confront yourself. Be sincere with yourself. Get into your closet and talk to yourself. Lest you perish. Lest you go to hell. For if a man does not have these things, the Bible says he's short-sighted. That's a problem. Father, I pray that you help us to humble ourselves before your word. And let your word do a thorough job in our lives. Thank you for the privilege to share these things. You told us to insist on them. Don't back down. Don't give grounds. Insist on it. Because it's profitable to all. It is really profitable to all. Because when we get it right with you, every other thing will be added to us. Every other thing is added to us. Frustrations, get out of the way. The devil has no more place, no more platform to be harassing our life. Thank you, merciful Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor, can you sing a song for me? Any song? Any song? That's what. I love our pastor a lot. He's so handsome. I wish I'm like that.